All right, I have two aims then this morning. One of them is to talk about what we do in Sunday school all together. We have this four-year program that we started 8 years ago, and I think it's been 8 years since I kind of laid out why we're doing this and what our goals and objectives are. So was anybody here 8 years ago by chance? Okay, so we have a few, so not many. So probably... Even if you were here 8 years ago, you may have missed this or something. So I wanted to take a little bit of time just to talk about why we're going to make the approach we have in Sunday school. Because as you know, we have this theology course going every semester, and then we have another class. My other goal is then to introduce you to what we're going to talk about specifically this semester, which is the doctrine of Scripture and the doctrine of God. And I ran out of these schedule cards. So if anybody has an extra one, you can give it to the brothers walking in here, or if you don't, we'll get it to them. Thanks, Margie, you're so kind. That was actually a test to see who loves their neighbor as themselves, and so, yeah, so thank you, Margie. You passed, and you all fail, and, I do have these. I said, as I was passing them out, I'm not necessarily married to this. You should know that for any card I make. Oftentimes we'll depart from it, but I think this is going to be our approach. And this is going to be a course where Ray Van Est and I are going to both take some of these lectures. And Ray's first one is going to pick up on September 25th. So I think he's going to be well by then. He should be, Lord willing, coming home from the hospital, actually tomorrow. So I think he's well, and maybe get a week to get him his feet under him, and then we'll go from there. But we're going to look at two issues of theology this semester. What does the Bible say about itself? So how should we understand the Bible? And then what does the Bible say about God? So the doctrine of Scripture and doctrine of God. I did want to read a few verses before we begin from 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, does anybody else need a card? I do have one more I could give away. I don't have to have one. I think I know what I'm going to do. Did you get one? There you go, brother. Uh-huh. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And then I want to lay out kind of our vision for Sunday school, which is really a... And then maybe how Sunday school fits into the broader perspective of our church. In some ways, if you're visiting with us for the first time, this is an ideal lesson. You can kind of get an intro to what we're doing. But if you've also been here a while, this will help orient all of us to why we're doing what we're doing and how we're going to go about this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, though, is where I want to begin reading. And we'll go through verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for the opportunity again to think about doctrines. Think about what your word teaches us, specifically this semester. What does the Bible say about itself? And what does the Bible say about you, our God? And so I pray that as we think through these issues this semester, that we'll grow in our understanding. Because you tell us in John 17 that eternal life is to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We hope to do that better this semester, to know you better. So would you aid us in that? Specifically, just aid us this morning now as we kind of think through what we're doing and why as a whole. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As I said, this is kind of a orientation to everything we do in Sunday school this semester. 8 years ago, I sat down at my desk and sit behind my computer and I wrote out a document I titled The Need for Discipleship and a Plan to Achieve It. The reason I wrote down out that document was really because I felt pressure to do so. But I didn't feel pressure because people at the church were saying, Lee, you need to write out something like that or you'll get fired or anything like that. The pressure was really just the pressure kind of humiliation. There were two things that had happened in my life in just the weeks leading up to this moment where I sat down and wrote out this document that led me to want to write it. The first one was that I got a phone call from a guy I knew and just a well-respected man. I think highly of him. And he has a son who's just a few years behind me. And so he called me and he said, at that time, it was I think about 2002, 2003. And he said, Lee, my son is very zealous for the Lord. And I just want him to be able to learn. And so he's looking around at some kind of, internship positions. And I really want to encourage him to go there and just to put himself under you. And in fact, if he needs financing to be able to do this, I'm so convinced that this is something he needs to do that I've told him I'll cover his expenses. He can just go and send under you and you can disciple him. So what do you think about that? And so I gave the answer that every believer gives when you're kind of caught off guard and don't know how to answer. I said, well, let me pray about that, right? And see if the Lord will lead me to realize that I need to disciple people, because that's unclear in the Bible. And So I said, okay, yeah, let me pray about that. But when I hung up the phone, honestly, my first thought was just one of terror, because I had never done that. And in my upbringing, I grew up in a very, this is quite ironic, maybe I'm reacting against my upbringing, but the church that I was in was very all theological, if you will. It's not as if they were teaching heresy. We just weren't talking anything about what the Bible says about any topics or anything like this. And nor did I have anybody in my life that kind of took me on and said, I'll be a Paul and you'll be my Timothy, in any kind of formal discipleship. So the option wasn't really there for me to obey 2 Timothy 2, how Paul says to Timothy, what you've heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will teach others. I mean, it would have been a nice option, I thought, to be able to say, you know what, the discipleship I received, I'll just pass that on to somebody else. But honestly, that wasn't an option. I just hadn't received any. And so so I kind of had a little bit of a panic. And Bill, this whole front row is open. This chair here, you can sit in. And then there's some spots here, too.
That's called the
AVS
corner.
That's right. It's funny. That's where my grandpa sat. We had all these pews, that then the pulpit was here, and then there was one pew over here, and he always sat there. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, he could get a glimpse of the notes or something. I don't know. I knew he was going to say that, okay, so this happened, and I kind of panicked a little bit, and I thought to myself, well, I want to be able to do this. I just don't know how. Well, the next day, this same guy calls me again, and he says, I got news for you. I told you I wanted my son to do an internship. I'd like for him to do it under you. I got news that he had actually applied for an internship at another church. Sorry about that. It's not going to work out. And I said, that's fine. And honestly, I kind of breathed a sigh of relief. But that relief didn't last long, because then what happened was there was a girl who became a new believer here at the church. And so my wife came up to me and said, her name was Blair. She said, I know Blair's a new believer. I would like to disciple her. And I said, Lily, that's great. And she said, so I would like for you just to tell me how to go about this. And I said, there's all kinds of ways you could approach. Very complex, Sure, anything you want to do is good. And she said, well, why don't you just give me what you do? And I said, let me get into the office and I'll do that. And so I sat down at my desk, and that's when I titled The Need for Discipleship and a Plan to Achieve It, right? This was, I got to think through this. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's not like discipling somebody is some kind of peripheral task for the church, right? In the Great Commission. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So obviously, this is what we should be about. And so as I sat down at my computer, I just asked myself this question. What is it that I think every believer needs to know? And I said, well, that's huge. So let's reduce that a little bit. What if I just had, I was working in a kind of college mindset here, and I said, what if I just had 4 years or 8 semesters with somebody? Because this is the kind of question they ask with majors, right? You're majoring in something, and they say, if they're going to have expertise in this topic, then what courses do they need to take? So that's how that's probably how they're answering that question. So I just thought the same way. If I had 4 years with somebody and I wanted to disciple them, what is it that I think is fundamental for them to know? And so I came up then with this 4-year idea in which each semester we would offer 2 classes. And again, we're not married to this idea either, but this was just my answer at the time. And so what I did is I had one side that was just a theology side. As I said, theology, when you talk about theology, I mean, you're basically just asking the question, what does the Bible say about this topic or this topic or this topic? So I had 4 classes. We would do one on the doctrine of Scripture and the doctrine of God. We would do one on the doctrine of man or humanity, sin, and the person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? What does the Bible say about him? We would do one on the work of Christ. So that is like, what is his death on the cross, his resurrection, his perfect life? What does all that accomplish? And salvation in there. And then we would do one on the Holy Spirit, the church, and last thing. So I thought, these have kind of been traditionally the categories, but theologians sometimes call the loci of theology, or the different categories that are the main things that if you're going to learn, what does the Bible teach? You want to know, what does the Bible say about Scripture, God, man, sin, Christ, his work, salvation, the Holy Spirit, church, and last things. And then I thought we could have another side. I don't know what to title that. And we would just do several things. One, just a survey of the Bible. We could do church history. We could do a Christian living, just how do we live out our faith in different circumstances. And then kind of a how to study the Bible. So this thought then is really what formed our 4-year Sunday school rotation. Was just asking the question, what do we think we want believers to know? If we have them for 4 years, what would we want them to know to really say we're discipling someone? And so we answered this way. And as you can tell then, right now we're in year 1 of this. Aaron is teaching the Survey of the Bible class, and we're going to look in this class at the doctrines of Scripture and the doctrine of God. If you're with us last year, you know we looked at the Holy Spirit, the church, and last things. In the other class, they did a How to Study Your Bible. So this is where we are in the rotation. As I said, I don't think this is a set in stone in the sense that we might not think through this and tweak it and continually tweak it. But this is why we're doing Sunday school as we are. So if you kind of ask the question, what in the world are we doing? This was basically my answer to how is it that we're going to go about discipling one another. But let me ask some questions about this that maybe you've had thinking about this, or maybe you've not had, and this is here your first day, and you're thinking, okay, right, that may make sense, but maybe questions creeping up in your mind right now. One of them would be, what if I'm here longer than 4 years? You know, do you just quit coming to Sunday school after a while? Well, I guess that's an option. I would discourage it, though, so let's not even make that an option. What if you're here longer than 4 years? Well, let me throw out 3 things. That I think I think can answer that question. One is, if you're here longer than 4 years, then use this as an opportunity to deepen your understanding in these things. I think it's simply rare that we hear something one time and feel confident that we have it. I mean, think about this thought of discipleship. What if you've been here 4 years? What if you've been here 8 years? And I were to say to you, hey, you've sat through all of these classes twice. So why don't you just take somebody and and just teach them. I mean, you've learned all this material. You know it well. You might find yourself a bit hesitant, right? Because you would think, let me hear it all one more time, maybe, or something like this, right? So there's just going through something multiple times helps us learn it. Second, even for myself, as I've gone through these things and read other books, I've continued to find myself shaping what I think is a better way to teach this, or things that we need to look at, or things simply I understand better. If you look on your sermon or your schedule card, there are two topics that I'm covering this semester that I don't think I even covered the first semester. One is somewhere on your sermon card it says we'll look at the doctrine of God's aseity. This is something that I don't even think I knew this word until a few years ago, so obviously wasn't teaching it. But I've now come to think that this is fundamental for understanding who God is and understanding how we have our doctrine of Scripture. And so, aseity, asay means in oneself. The idea is that God needs nothing outside of himself. So we'll look at that at some point. On the card as well, you'll have something about God's sovereignty, human freedom, and evil. I think something like that. I don't think we looked at those issues as clearly as we're going to this semester. So all the time, just I myself want to be just shaping how we're doing the class and commit opportunity for you to learn and just continue to develop your own understanding. Again, once we preach through a book of the Bible, it's not as if we're going to say, okay, that's done, and set it aside, right? We come back to the Scriptures again and again because we can deepen understanding. A second answer, though, what if you're going to be here 4 years, would be that I do want to then encourage you to use these classes as a foundation to disciple others. What I mean is, if you find yourself in a similar position as I was on the end of that phone call, or as Lily was talking to this new believer, Blair, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I want to go about discipling someone, but where would I start? And we have this issue here in the church. Just, what, 3-4 Sundays ago, we baptized 4 new believers. So them alone, we have 4 new believers that need discipling. This is just an important lesson for us to know, and I think it was almost the assumption of my home church, and it was just a crazy thought. Spiritual maturity does not just happen with the passing of time. Right? Just in the same way that just because somebody can get old and stay immature, so spiritual maturity and spiritual growth doesn't just happen because, well, I've been a believer 10 years. No, it takes intentional effort to grow in the faith. It takes people helping you and assisting you. So one of the things we all need to be thinking about when we have new believers come into the church, I mean, when somebody's baptized, one of the questions we should be asking ourselves is, do I need to play a crucial role in that person's discipleship? Now, again, I know that can be overwhelming. It was overwhelming to me. And yet the thought is, one of the things that I would like to do is, for some reason, and I part of me just hates that I'm like this, but I don't even want to stand up and talk for 10 minutes unless I've written out everything that I want to say. So it's kind of a curse, and yet one of the benefits of it is everything that I say, I just write out. And so then I make it available online. You don't get all the highlights and notes and stuff, but that's probably to your advantage. Because the different colors mean nothing, actually. I don't know why I'd use different colors. everyone asked me that question. Why did you do green there and pink? I don't know why. I just did. But you know, one thing you can do then is, if I were going to start discipling somebody, one key thing I would say to new believers, I would say, you know what? One key place to start, obviously the key place to start is the gospel. So hopefully they know that if they're a believer. There's a pamphlet. We always have available a pamphlet on the back table just says, what is the gospel? You can always start there. But after that, or right along with that, I would want to start with, how do we view the Bible? What does the Bible say about itself? Well, the Bible, I mean, this is no surprise. This is going to be our answer this semester. The Bible claims that it's nothing less than God's very own word. That's why we say, on Sunday mornings, so sometimes I'll make reference to the fact that to say the Bible says is to say God says. So they're one and the same. And so I would want to start here
And then I would want to go here, probably. And then I would want to talk about these issues, right? I mean, so I'm not saying this is the only way to do it, but if you wanted to, you could find a new believer, encourage them, say, hey, why don't you come to Sunday school with me? And then let's meet again on Tuesday nights. And by Tuesday night, I'll get Lee's notes. I'll put them online. You can print them off. If you say, Lee, I need you to get your notes for me, I can do that and print them off and have them available. And you can read through it, and you can just go through and say, you know, sometimes Lee is not all that clear, so I want to make sure that you understood what he was saying. Or you're a new believer, so maybe some of these things you weren't really catching, and so I just want to make sure you get it. This is a foundation by which you can disciple others. Now, I've mentioned new believers. Let me also throw out here kids. A number of college students here, I think especially, you may be thinking, you know, we're some of the, you know, younger people in the church. Well, that's true, but there is a big group of people that is younger than you, that are younger than you. So we have a number of, whatever, 6 to 17-year-olds that if you wanted to walk up to some parent and say, you know what, I know you have a you know, 13-year-old child, and I wouldn't mind if you would be interested in just spending some time with your child, just going over again at Sunday school. I don't think there's going to be any parent that's going to say, no, they know the Bible well already, right? Keep your distance. How dare you, you know? No, obviously, the parents feel that the primary role does lie with the parents in discipleship. So another thing you can do is if you're a parent, our whole plan is that when kids turn 12, they don't go to some separate group. We make sure they understand they're part of the church as a whole. So when you turn 12, you would come into this class. One of my hopes is that a mom and dad are sitting there with their 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, and as we're talking through this stuff, they're doing the very thing that I'm suggesting. They're saying, hey, I want to make sure that you got what Lee was talking about. So you're discipling them. But again, my kids know way more about the Bible than I've personally taught them, and that is a blessing. Because it's always a reminder to me that I'm not the only one that's pouring Scripture into the life. I thank God right now that all my kids are in classes being taught the Scriptures. But also, it just means a lot. If I look back at my own life and my own spiritual growth, I am immensely thankful for godly Christian parents. But I'm also thankful for a guy named John Patton, who was probably about 18 when I was 13. And was passionately devoted to following the Lord and just allowed me to walk with him a little bit and just watch what he did. I could go on listing people, and I think probably you're probably like me sometimes, just having an individual in your life. And so if you want to invest yourself in the lives of kids and discipling them, that would be a rich blessing. Three, another thing you can do if you're going to be here more than 4 years is relieve a kid's Sunday school teacher. This is a bit of a petition, if you will. Lance Markham, for example, Lance and Jennifer have taught the 7 to 11-year-olds for 8 years now. Now, it doesn't take too much logic. If we've been doing this for 8 years to say, guess how many classes Lance and Jennifer have sat through? Zero, right? Now, I'm not saying, Lance may say, you're going to have to pry my hands off of this. I'm not saying he's looking for someone to get out, but if you're looking for an area you can minister to somebody, you could find a kids teacher and say, you know what, I've sat through these classes for 4 years. I've sat through these classes for 6 years, 8 years, whatever, and I would like to allow you to do that as well. So just some thoughts on what you can do if you're here for longer than 4 years. Let me then say something about the class this semester. What's then our goal this semester? We're looking at this issue, the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of God. What are we going to do each week? We're going to come in and we're going to ask the question, what does the Bible say about, and then whatever topic is on the card, what does the Bible say about God's sovereignty, human freedom, and the issue of evil? What does the Bible say about God's providence? What does the Bible say about itself, the doctrine of Scripture? We're going to look at this every week. I'm going to try to answer that question and talk. I want this to be an ask your questions kind of thing. In fact, you can look at the schedule ahead of time. If you see something that you're thinking, man, I have a lot of questions about that, or you read something and you say, I think that relates to this. My goal here, and I make it my goal, is that I would be done talking at a certain time and that you all would then ask questions and or this would be good too, maybe even better, even if along the way you're asking questions. So my hope is that any questions that you have about any of these issues, that you would think this is the setting to ask that question. It doesn't matter if you think, well, I should probably know this, I just don't. Well, if there's any setting where you can just admit, you know what, I need somebody to tell me this because I don't even know what the issue is, this is it. This is the church. This is where we're going to learn this. So I don't care if you think to yourself, you know, I probably should already know the answer to this question. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and ask it. And maybe somebody sitting right next to you doesn't know the answer. And asking it would help them. Also, there's no question that's out of bounds here. Right? I mean, I remember when I was going through the PhD program, I mean, one of the things, there is this real pressure that you're supposed to know all of this stuff. And so sometimes they would say, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, whoever, Heidegger or something, you know, and they would say, so let's just talk about maybe the implications of his thought on something. And it would open it up for the conversation. And of course, you're thinking to yourself, I should know, but I don't know, and I'm not going to ask, you know, because it feels like this is the place we shouldn't do that. Well, here, I just want you to know, there's no question out of bounds. If you think to yourself, you know what, sometimes I have trouble accepting Scripture as you're saying that it is, then I want you to question that. I mean, I want you to ask that question. I want to try to answer it. I mean, think of this. What I'm going to do is say, you want to know how the Bible is God's Word? The answer is that the Bible itself says it's God's Word. You may think to yourself, well, wait a second, isn't that circular reasoning? I'm going to try to answer that question as to how we deal with that as we go through the semester. But ultimately, whatever question comes up, if you think to yourself, wait a second, that doesn't make sense, isn't that inconsistent or something, just ask that question. Or, Lee, you didn't address this, what would you do with this? Or, you say this, but what about this other text? I want us to address that. And then let me ask two more questions, and then I'll be through this morning. The other question is, when you look at something like this, I compared it to somebody who's picking a major in college. Right, so you want to know this issue well, you know, whatever it is, engineering or majoring in engineering, so you need these courses. That's what I've been here. Somebody could say, you know, well, when you write all of this stuff on the board, it kind of looks like the stuff that they would teach in the seminary or in the Christian university. So aren't these, instead of things that we should talk about in Sunday school, aren't these topics that we should be talking about rather if we're at the Christian university like Union or something, or if we're in the seminary, or perhaps on our own? Well, my answer to that, I'll try to answer both questions. Let's first take, aren't these things that you should learn at the university or seminary? And the answer is yes. If you go to the university and you major in theology, then you should learn these things. If you go to seminary, you should learn these things. However, God did not give the task of making disciples to the university or the seminary. Now, I'm thankful for the university and seminary. I've benefited immensely. But God gave the task of making disciples to the church. And so I would love for the day to come. I've heard Al Mohler say this, who leads Southern Seminary. Mohler said, I would love for the day to come and that we have to shut down the seminary because there's no need for it. Now, that day's probably not coming, but I would love for there to be a day when those of you who did not major in theology or biblical studies or something like that at Union, or you didn't go to seminary, are educated in the things that we're educating people in the seminary and in the Christian university. Why? Because they're educating people in the seminary and in the Christian university in the Bible. We should know the Bible. We should know it well. There's no reason at all why we should be content to know less about the Bible than somebody else if we don't have to. And my goal is to say, well, we don't have to, so let's go about doing this. Let's look at these issues and talk about them this semester. There's no reason why only those who take a hermeneutics course in seminary should know how to study the Bible. That should be something that we're educating all believers in. Also, it is true that you could study all this on your own. And the last thing I'm going to do is discourage anybody from studying on their own. In fact, this semester, if you say, you know, we're looking at this, I would like to read, what do you think is the best book on this topic? I would love to make book recommendations to you so that you can study on your own. However, I also want to acknowledge that the Lord has given teachers to the church. So let me try to balance this out for a second. On the one hand, I do want you to be responsible and labor, and so this is not my way of saying stop studying on your own. No, if you have time and opportunity and ability, study all you want. You cannot study the Scripture too much. So study all you want. But I also know that with the situation in life as it is, few, if any of us, have the time and ability to study and know the Bible as much as we wish we could. Right? I just trust that's true. And I don't think that that's an exception now. I think, or that that's the rule now. I think that's always been the case. I don't think today is the exception. Let me show you a text. We've looked at this a few times, but look at Galatians chapter 6 with me. Galatians chapter 6. I've pointed to this text a few times as we've looked at different things, but this really, studying Galatians 6 really actually helped me probably as much as anyone just to understand how I think one way the church is supposed to work. It might sound a little self-serving when I start, but I'll try to say that it's not. Hopefully I can succeed in saying this is not self-serving. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone's caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So this is the context of it, is that we're laboring for one another. Brothers in sin, help him out. Bear one another's burdens, right? That we're walking together as a community. That's the setting of Galatians 6, that we need each other. We're relying on each other. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks he has something when he has nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each one will have to bear his own load. Okay, so Paul's balancing this with, I'm not saying you're not responsible yourself. You are responsible yourself. But at the same time, we need the community. It's the same thing I'm trying to balance here this morning. Verse 6. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. All right, let's just stop there for a second. This is a very odd text to preach on when you're the pastor, isn't it? Those texts that say something like, pay him money or something. And you're like, so what I'm going to say today is that you should pay me. You know, that's weird to talk about. But the reason it's easy for me to talk about is because the church graciously just takes care of me. Here's what I think the image is in Galatians 6. One, and I am like Mr. Stick Figure in here, so you can even redraw everything I draw. You don't have to be an artist, you know, if you're discipling somebody. Let me show you this horrible picture Lee used, you know, to explain this. That's an easy one to do. So the church is carrying this burden of wanting to know the Word of God and wishing they had more time and more ability and more resources to get that done. And one of the blessings is, and we didn't create this, is that the church can set aside an individual or individuals, however many they want here, but at least, let's say, set aside an individual and say, we would like for you to alleviate the burden that's on us. We don't have the time and ability to study the Word of God, the resources to do it as we could. And the reason we don't have the time and ability is because, good grief, we have to provide for our families. And if you're a father, you know, you're thinking, I've got to work full-time, 40, 50, 60, whatever many hours a week, so that I can provide for the family. And so I just don't have the time, the ability, the resources to devote myself to knowing, studying the Word of God as much as I wish I could. Of course, they're doing all they can individually, read the Word of God, memorize it, these kinds of things. And so they said, we would like to set aside someone and say, would you devote yourself to give yourself full time to this task so that we might benefit from your labors? Well, that's great, isn't it? It seems to be a picture then the Bible's providing for us, but then that provides a problem as well. Say you're this guy, and you have kids as well, and all of a sudden now there's a burden on you. And that burden is, I can give myself full time to studying the Word and equipping myself so that I might teach you the Word, so that you might know it, but that doesn't put food on the table. Right? It's not as if you write up a sermon and magically your pantry's full. Right? So the thing is now there's a burden on this individual. And that burden is financial. And so the church says, well, we're asking you to do this, devote yourself to full-time. So rid yourself of other full-time responsibilities that we're taking on to provide for our families. But we will take some of the fruit of our labor, some of the financial benefit we do, and so we will alleviate the burden that you carry financially. Well, this is a really beautiful picture, isn't it? We didn't come up with it. This is exactly, I think, what Paul's saying in verse 6, one who's taught the word must share all good things with one who teaches. It's the same kind of thing Paul will say at a different place when he says, you should not muzzle the ox while he treads the grain. Or the labor is worthy of its wages. Something like this, right? He's just picturing this. So what I don't want you all to do is, and I say this, I've said it a few times, but I am incredibly thankful for the members of this church. Here's what goes on here. If you're a member of the church, and you give to the church, I'm talking to you. You work hard throughout the week, in part, so that you can have money to give to the church. In part, so that some of that money can go to pay my salary. I get that. I'm incredibly thankful for that. My hope now is to labor well to benefit you. What I don't want you to do is to carry the burden of thinking, I need to work hard throughout the week so that I can have resources to provide for my family and to give to the church so that one of the things that money does is provide financially for me. And then think, you're also responsible for taking on all the tasks that I'm supposed to be about, right? That if I'm going to be a good Christian, not only must I work my 40, 50, 60 hours a week, but I also must study the Word of God full time. Well, that's impossible. So I'm not saying, this is not my way of saying, study the Word less. Study all you can. But also benefit from teachers. This is not our design, but the Lord's design, I think. This is why Paul will talk so much about this issue. And so, yes, it is true that you can study these things on your own. And yet, this is the height of folly to think we do not need others who can teach and benefit us. And I'm in a position, praise the Lord, where not only am I able to give myself full time to the study, but this church has been so gracious, they even gave me a 2-year sabbatical and said, go get a PhD. Right? I mean, like, the stick figure that is me is really blessed. And so my hope is that we would be able to bless you in that as well. And let me ask one more question and try to answer it. And then that will suffice for my orientation for why we're doing Sunday school this way and what we're doing. The final question might be something like this. Aren't there other issues, though, that Christians need to know? I mean, this isn't everything, is it? I mean, for one, Aaron's doing a survey of the Bible, but you're not going to go in detail through every book of the Bible. So don't we need to know more? The answer is yes, absolutely. It's not as if come to Sunday school and you got everything you need to know. Sunday school is just a part of what we're doing. And so one thing, and you may have heard us say this before if you've been here a while, but we don't like to have services just because you're supposed to do something at that specific time slot. That is to say, we don't have Wednesday night services just because we looked around and said, everybody else is having Wednesday nights. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. We need to come up with something. We don't have Sunday school because we did that same thing, or Sunday nights, right? Everything we're doing is trying to do something specifically to complete this picture. I've already lined out for you Sunday school. What about Sunday morning? What about our corporate worship on Sunday morning? Well, of course, we're commanded to gather and worship the Lord, to sing songs to Him. That's what we do, to pray. In the preaching of the Word, one of the reasons, because I don't have going through every book of the Bible in detail in this, that's one of the reasons why on Sunday mornings we make it our effort to preach the Word, to preach through the Scriptures. Specifically, we make it our goal to preach expositionally. It's a long word. All it means is this. Make the point or points of the text, the point or points of the sermon. That's what expositional preaching is. You make the point or points of the text, the point or points of the sermon. So this is why if someone's preaching expositionally, they'll typically make a point. So they'll say, this is something I want to say in my sermon. And then they'll try to show you where that point comes from in the text. Because you don't want to drift apart from the text. This is not, I've thought up four ideas, and I want to talk about them. And we'll read the text of the Bible as well. But we start with the text. What's the text say? Ask your sermon around that. Also, not only do we try to do it with the text, but we've tried to work our way through the whole of the Bible. I'm the most anal planner you'll ever meet. So in 2014, which is funny to say, isn't it? In 2014, whenever I preach Esther, I think it is, we will have preached through the whole Bible together from 2000, 2001, roughly, to 2014. I might change that. I can't even stay on task with any short schedule I give, so I may depart from that. But sometime in 2014, I think we will. Sometimes we take text. People ask this, so if you're asking the question, I'll try to go ahead and answer it. Sometimes my approach in preaching through a book of the Bible is to take either an A, B, or C level look at the book. An A level outline would be something that's more broad. So when we went through Genesis, the book of Genesis, I did that in 8 messages. 50 chapters, 8 messages. But my goal is, whether I was dealing with 13 chapters or 13 verses, I want to make the point or points of the text, the point or points of the sermon. So sometimes you can take broader chunks and say, what is this text teaching us? When I went through Galatians, 6 chapters, we did 15 messages. When I sat down to outline 1 John, I was going to do it in 5, 11, or 21. And I settled on 11. When we come back to John again, we'll do this or this. I started pastoring when I was 21, which is funny, isn't it? And bad. Don't let your kids do that, right? I started pastoring when I was 21, so I thought to myself, if I could preach through the Bible in 15 years, then reasonably, I could do an A, B, and C level outline of every book in 45 years. Now, not everybody can make a 45-year plan for pastoral ministry, but if you start at 21, you can, you know. So there it is. And we'll be on pace, 2014. Some people could say then, well, hold on a second, Lee. So you, right, you guys just plan book by book by book you're going to preach through them? Yes, because we need the Bible, right? We don't want to be so. What's the one point I'm going to make this morning in the sermon? But let's not try to be wiser than God, right? God's told us what we need. Don't try to think outside of that. Say I need to come up with something else that I think we need. No, let's just go with what God says. And well, what about letting the Spirit guide you? Well, the Spirit's inspired this text. We need it. It's amazing too how many times we have a congregation have said, I think this is exactly what we needed to hear right now. It's because the Spirit's inspired His words. So we're walking through it. So one of the things we're doing on Sunday mornings is just trying to fulfill this. On Sunday nights. Sunday nights, we basically looked at the Scripture and said, you know what? There are a number of texts that we categorize as these one another texts. Bear one another's burdens, share in one another's joys, pray for one another, exhort one another, do all these one another things. And we said, you know what, on Sunday morning, it's just not really an opportunity for that to happen. I mean, it's not like we have a time in our service where we just stop and say, now we're going to take the next 20 minutes just encouraging one another, exhorting one another, forgiving one another, bearing one another's burdens. So just go at it, and I'll let you know when we can come back to singing again or something, right? We don't do that. Well, it doesn't mean, though, that that's not as biblical as everything else we're doing on Sunday morning. So on Sunday evenings, we then said, you know what? We need to provide an atmosphere where we can do that. So Sunday evenings are a time where we get together, we share prayer requests, we share praises, we share struggles, we share joys, in part so that we can pray for one another. Also in part so that we can minister to each other throughout the week. You know, when somebody says, you know what, I'm having a hard time with my 12-year-old being rebellious. And they share that on Sunday nights. It does help us to know how to pray for them so that we can stop that night and pray for them throughout the week. We can all be praying for them. It also helps us to know how to minister to them. I know several times when a request like that is shared, calls or messages go out to say, hey, is there anything I can do to help you? Or just a card to say. So this is an opportunity for us to bear one another's burdens. On Wednesday nights, one of the things we do is to try to take up more issues. So things that also don't fit in. This Wednesday, this semester on Wednesday nights, we're going to be having three classes. One of them will be a book by Ed Welch, When People Are Big and God Is Small. You know, I mean, we don't specifically address the thing of the need to fear God more than we fear man. And a lot of us struggle with fearing man more than we fear God. Well, Wednesday nights is an opportunity for us to get in a smaller group and study that. We're going to study, Bill's going to lead us through the book of Hebrews. So a chance to look at the Bible and discuss it together more. And then we're going to have a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, a class on parenting. So one of the things we're trying to do is let Sunday school then set and do its own thing and let it just be a part of what we're trying to do everywhere else. So no, the thought isn't if you just attend Sunday school or something, all will be well. No, there's this idea of everything that we're doing, we're trying to fulfill something. We're not just slotting a service time up there to fill a slot. We're trying to make sure we're doing something specifically. So, again, I don't know how many knew that, or maybe you're new here this morning. This is our goal for Sunday school as a whole. I thought since we were in year one, this would be an opportune time to talk about it. And then next week, next week we're actually going to have off a bit. We're going to all meet in this room, and Aaron's going to talk about a different topic for us next week, because I know a number may be out with Labor Day. But the week after that, when we come back, we're going to start our study on the doctrine of Scripture and the doctrine of God. And I want to just back up a little bit and say, why is the study of theology so important? And then we'll start walking through our schedule week by week. If you look ahead, maybe you're talking to a friend and he's been struggling with an issue, and you look on that card and say, oh, well, the issue you're struggling with, I know we're going to talk about it. This is an opportunity for you to invite him. I will try to stay on the card so that you can help to that degree. So I think that's all that's kind of orient us to everything this morning. So any thoughts, questions, comments, lamentations, anything you want to ask or anything this morning? Yes, brother. Top right?
Yeah, like
Survey of the Bible.
I mean, like the
verses,
theology, and the left side.
Oh, yes. This is fill in the blank, right? Can you not see it from that angle? No. Yeah, I didn't know how to group all this. So we call this other, you know? And never the two shall meet, you know? So this semester, Aaron's studying the Bible. We're studying Scripture, you know? Because we want to keep them separate. No, that's a good question. This is just I didn't know what to title it. Yeah, that's why I'm not an administrator at a college or something, right? We'll just leave that one blank, you know? That's probably not good. Anything else? All right. Well, we're good to go on time. Two weeks from now. Next week, we will meet in here. I won't be teaching, different topic. 2 weeks from now. Why is studying theology so important? And then we'll go from there. So let me pray for us, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think through what it is that we need to do in order to minister and disciple one another. Thank you that we have the opportunity to do this. I mean, we know that in other parts of the world, there are individuals who are having to hide out because they're meeting together and there's persecution. And we get to just say, what is it that we think we need to look at? And let's do as much as we can. What a blessing. I also pray that we'll just give ourselves to this task this semester, that we will try to think well so that we can benefit. Perhaps think with the idea in mind that we want to be able to pass this on to others. So, Father, just aid us this semester. Guide us. I pray that any question that needs to come up, that somebody needs to ask, they would just have the boldness to do it. In fact, I pray that this would be a class where questions would just be flowing freely, and that we could just discuss these things together. You're so good. You're so kind to us. As we now go into this other room and we gather to worship the Lord corporately, we do pray that you will help us to sing and pray for the word to be preached and us to respond to that word all in the power of your Holy Spirit, so that you might be worshipped as you should, so that all glory might be given to God, so that our faith might not rest in what we've seen man do, but in God, the one who gives life to the dead. So would you help us now as we gather to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.